served on staff together in Conroe at West Conroe Baptist Church. I think we met on the elevator here and just went, oh, wow. You're here? Oh, you're here. Yeah. So glad you're here. So y'all need to be on your best behavior today. Make me look really good. Tell her the truth. That's right. Yeah. Tell her the truth. When I went to the ministry, my longtime friend that I knew since elementary school was in my church, and they said, "You got any dirt on John?" He said, "No, he didn't get caught." Okay, so we're in our discipleship series here. We started out with the doctrine of God, then we looked at the doctrine of Christ, doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We talked about faith, salvation, repentance. Last week was the cross, and today baptism. Now, if you're following your scope and sequence, you're going to skip. We're going to move resurrection to Easter Sunday. So lesson number 9 will be on March 27th. Is that when Easter is? Whenever Easter is, that's when we'll have a lesson on resurrection. So next week will be number 10, maturity, pressing on to the goal. So today we're going to realize that our new life in Christ demands a new lifestyle. So at your tables, we're going to get talking right away. Okay? When you became a Christ follower, when you decided to follow Christ, was the change in your life extraordinary? Was it slow but sure, or was it unremarkable? When you decided to become a Christ follower, was the change in your life extraordinary? Was it slow but sure, or unremarkable? Ready, go. Okay, what say you? What say you? Was your change extraordinary, slow but sure, or unremarkable? Slow but sure. How many of you said slow but sure? Raise your hands, okay. How many of you said extraordinary? Extraordinary, okay. How many of you said unremarkable? Okay. Now, why would those of you who said extraordinary say that? We're not telling them. Fair enough. Fair enough. That's a good answer. That is a good answer.
I have a question for the lady.
All right, Tony's got a question.
Was your family like in some sort of religion, like Catholicism or something?
Yes.
Like
that? Everybody was Catholic. Oh, so yeah. They said. Uh-huh. But none of them went to church.
Yeah.
Title. When I would go visit the hospitals in Houston, there was one of the volunteers was a Catholic man who was at ICU, and so he would always say the priest is here to see so and so, talking about me, and he told me that John F. Kennedy was a Roman Catholic. I'm just telling you what he said. I didn't say that. So don't send me any cards. You know, don't write any letters. Yeah, so you get pressure. You've had, some of you had family pressures from when you began to follow Christ. You know, my mom and dad never accepted my call to ministry. You know, never accepted it. You know, was a little resentful. You know, he was a churchgoer. He was a Christian. You know, okay. How about unremarkable? Who said unremarkable? And would you like to share unremarkable?
Well, we don't like that word.
Okay, we'll come up with another word.
Uneventful? I mean,
I'll offer up a suggestion. I don't really consider mine unremarkable, but in my case, see, I was born with a drug problem. I mean, from the time I was born, my parents drug me to church every Sunday.
Okay.
So, you know, when I finally made that decision, it was... I mean, it wasn't really an extraordinary change from how I had been raised up to that point.
Okay, good. So normal.
So that's the kind of, I think, kind of unremarkable.
Normal progression. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so point number one in our lesson is that when after we have become a Christian, then we should be baptized. All right. So baptism symbolizes our new relationship with Christ. So let's look at Romans chapter 6. And we're going to read first verses 1 through 4. Romans 6, baptism symbolizes our new relationship with Christ. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So, in the New Testament, immersion was the usual form of baptism. Okay, dipping under the water. We'll talk a little more about that in a little bit later. But new Christians were buried in the water. So they understood that baptism symbolized the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, dying to that old way of life, coming up out of the water, beginning a new life. You know, this coming up symbolized the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, baptism is also a picture of spiritual truth. In the early church, baptism always followed a decision, a person's decision to follow Christ. It always followed that. So baptism was immediately enacted after a person's decision to follow Christ. And I talked about this a few weeks ago. Baptism identifies us as a Christian. It's like our driver's license identifies us as to who we are. Baptism identifies us as being a follower of Christ. Now, the reason that early Christians were baptized immediately after their conversion is because they would probably remember it. They would probably remember that conversion experience because the baptism immediately followed it. So if you think of your old life, and Becky alluded to this, you know, and many of us who became Christians as a child, you know, we don't really have a lot of remembrance of that old life. But I think those of you who came to Christ later in life are really more fortunate because you can remember the way that you lived, and some of you are shaking your heads. For those of us that accepted Christ as a child, it's like what happened after that decision that we have to really come to grips with. You know, how did we go through those rebellious teenage years and those rebellious college years, you know, of giving our life to Christ? All right, so why should a person be baptized? Well, point number one is to follow the example set by Christ. Look at Mark 1, verse 9. Look at Mark 1, verse 9. Let's see what the Bible says. Why we should be baptized. Mark 1, verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. So we followed the example set by Christ. Now turn to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Point number two is because Jesus commanded it. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Known as the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now notice the order of what happens. Number one, make disciples. Number two, baptize them. Number three, teach them. See the order? Make disciples, baptize them, teach them. So baptism is the initiation into the Christian life. It's not the graduation. Okay? It's the initiation. It's not the graduation. Okay, why should I be baptized? To follow the example set by Christ, because he commanded it. Number three, it demonstrates that I really am a believer. Turn to Acts 18, verse 8. It demonstrates that I really am a believer. Acts 18, 8. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. And you remember Crispus's last name, right? Cremus. Yeah, Crispus Cremus was his name. You know? That's a joke. Don't send me any mail. Okay. All right. But notice the order again in Acts 18:8. Believe, then baptize. See that? In the New Testament, belief and baptism were always put together. They were never separated. So we know we're believers if we obey his commands. And the first command is to do what?
Baptized.
Be baptized. There you go. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the meaning of baptism? 1 Corinthians 15. It illustrates Christ's burial and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 3. Paul says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Notice that. He died. Verse 4. "That he was buried. And that he raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Notice the order. He died. He was buried. He was raised. So baptism best illustrates the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a visual symbol of what Christ did for us. Yes, ma'am?
He was seen by Cephas. Who is Cephas?
I'm sorry?
The next line says he was seen by Cephas and then as well.
That's right.
Peter.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Cephas was Peter. Yes.
That's another name.
Another name.
I know it means stone or pebble.
Yeah, Peter means the rock.
The rock.
That's right. Little rock, actually. Okay? Good question. All right. So how many days was Christ in the grave? 3 days. All right. When you're baptized, you're under the water 3 seconds. baptism illustrates Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, and land at verse 17. So it illustrates Christ's burial and resurrection. It also illustrates my new life as a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, look, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So it illustrates Christ's burial and resurrection. It also illustrates my new life as a Christian. So baptism is an outward symbol of what has already taken place where? Inside of us. See that? It's an outward symbol of what's already happened inside of us. Baptism doesn't make you a believer. Baptism illustrates that you are a believer. It's just like those of us that are married. The wedding ring doesn't make us married, does it? It symbolizes that we're married. It's a symbol. And that language is often used in wedding ceremonies. Okay? It's just like going to church. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, does it?
No.
Being baptized doesn't make you a Christian. Doing good things doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian? Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ alone.
And John?
Yes, sir.
Not building a wall on the south border of the United States does not make you a Christian.
Not building a wall on the south border does not make you a Christian. That's right. All right. All right, now why immersion? Why be baptized by immersion? Because there are other forms of baptism. You know, there's sprinkling, there's pouring, but why be baptized by immersion? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Look at Matthew 3, verse 16. Why be baptized by immersion? Well, first of all, because Jesus was baptized that way. All right? As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. See that? At the moment heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. So why be baptized by immersion? Because Jesus was baptized that way. Now, I have a good friend in heaven, Frank. Frank's in heaven. And when Frank was a baby, he was baptized in the church that he and his parents were part of. Okay? You know what I mean? All right? And so as an adult, Frank and his family, his wife and two children, started attending in Marietta, started attending the church, the Baptist church, where I was serving. Okay? And the longer Frank attended the Baptist church where we were, the more he learned that in order to be a member of the Southern Baptist Church, that he needed to do what? Be baptized. All right? In his words, be baptized again. Okay? And so one Sunday, Frank came up to me after church just livid. I mean, I've never seen him that angry. We were good friends. And he's just going on and on and on and on and on, you know, like, I want to be a member of the church, but in order to be a member of the church, I've got to be baptized. Can you give me one good reason why I should be baptized? I said, yes, I can. Because Jesus was. And Frank said, well, that's a good reason. And so he was baptized. He died at age 42 from a massive heart attack. And he's in heaven. He's in heaven. So why be baptized by immersion? Because Jesus was baptized that way. So we practice baptism the way that Jesus was baptized. And I always say, if you don't like it, take it up with God. Let me know how it works out. All right. Now, why be baptized? Yes, sir.
I was baptized as an infant in the Baptist church. And as I came to the Baptist church, I struggled for a long time about having to be re-baptized by immersion. In my heart, I felt like I was baptized.
Yes, sir.
And I struggled with it. I finally worked it out.
Right. And I always say that, you know, he struggled with being rebaptized, you know. And I always say, you know, if that happened to you as a child, you know, praise the Lord. Your parents thought enough of you to take you to church. You know, so don't discount it, you know. But let's just see what the Bible says about
my grandfather.
Well, that's just even better. In fact, we get our name Baptist from the term rebaptizers. That's where Baptist, that's where our heritage comes from. Yes, ma'am. And again, the baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is that symbol of the fact that you are a Christian.
I didn't know about it, and my parents did it. So I was made to be baptized. It was not my decision, it was not my will. And I was a baby.
I have a really good friend that was part of, her words, not mine, an evangelical Catholic church. And the way, like I said, her words, not mine. And the way it was explained to me was, and this particular Catholic church had
a tub.
And then, no, the better way to explain it. In their church where they were baptized. And the way she explained it to me, she said, when I was a baby, I was christened. I was christened by my parents that this was my name and that they were going to raise me and you know, in the church, and they were going to raise me in the faith, and that these people that were designated as my godparents were going to do the same. And she said, and that's how this church teaches that you were, they still christen babies, but they are very careful to use the word christen, and then they baptize by immersion. So I think it, you know, it goes back to terminology. Well,
I would say that I was in a Methodist church at a conference in Ohio, and we went on a tour, and there was a tub, and so most of the people at the conference were Methodist, you know, and so during the Q&A session, someone asked the Methodist pastor of that church, "We saw that tub. What is that?" You know, they had no idea what it was. And he said, "Well, we practice believers' baptism by immersion. That's a Methodist church." Okay? And so the follow-up question was, "What does your bishop say about that?" And the answer was, "I could care less what the bishop says. I'm going by the Bible." Okay? So there are... It's not universal. And my favorite great-nephew, Ellis, we went to his... they call it a baptism at the Presbyterian Church. Infant baptism. And I was telling Becky, you know, I don't want to go. You know, I don't believe in this. You know, and she said, "You're his great uncle. You're going." And so, you know, and he is my favorite great nephew. You know,
I think looks like him and acts like him.
Yeah. And so, it's my brother's grandson. You know, but he likes me more than he likes my brother. Not true. But during the ceremony, the pastor of the Presbyterian Church said, "Today, Woody and Jessica are bringing Ellis to be baptized. This is a decision that they have made. One day when Ellis is old enough, he will make his own decision to follow Christ and be baptized." And I go, "Hand me the program. I thought I was at a Presbyterian church." Well, I was. But this particular pastor believed like we believe. So it's not universal. Yes, ma'am.
So it's really more of a dedication.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on to that question. I'm gonna talk about that too.
John?
Yes. Dedication. Yes.
I was brought up Methodist, and this one day, my two older brothers, my two sisters and myself, the minister came to the house, and we were all sprinkled, and that took care of that.
Yeah.
In our living room.
Yes.
My story is a little bit different. I was raised in the Methodist church and was immersed. That's how I was at age 11. I was not saved until age 14, and several years ago, Jim Bryan told us about the leaders that
Okay, let me go ahead and talk about the children, okay? The dedication that we have today, you know, when the parents bring their children,
right?
You know, it's baby dedication. That's what Ellis's, my great nephew's, was. All right. Who made the decision to bring the child?
Parents.
The child had nothing to do with it, right?
Right.
All right.
Done to them.
All right. Infant baptism began 300 years after Christ was resurrected. The practice of infant baptism began about 300 years after Christ was resurrected. So the practice of infant baptism was a practice of the church, not of the Bible. You see the difference? You see the difference? Okay, Acts 8. So we said, why be baptized by immersion? Because Jesus was baptized that way. And number two, every baptism in the New Testament was by immersion. That's why we baptize by immersion. Look at Acts 8, 38. "And he," this is the Ethiopian ruler, "gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them." Notice, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So every baptism in the New Testament was by immersion. Now, point number three, the English word baptized actually comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to go under or immerse.
Right.
Now, when the Bible was being translated into English, The translators came to the King of England and said, we have a problem with this word baptizo, because it means to immerse or go under the water. Now, the Church of England, the Anglicans, Episcopalians, by and large, practice baptism how?
Sprinkling.
Okay. So the king said, I'm not going to be immersed. And so you got to work it out. So they took a Greek word and made an English word out of it. Now, we do that today. Okay. Do you like burritos?
No.
Do you like burritos?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. And I got verification from my Spanish translator, okay? The word burrito means little donkey. Okay? So how many of you like to eat little donkeys? No. See, we've taken a Spanish word, burrito, and we've brought it into our American culture. And just like the little burro, we load our burrito up, don't we? We stack it up with beans and rice and, you know, meats and cheese and guacamole and all that stuff. Okay? So we've taken a Greek word and brought it into our American culture, just like burrito. All right? Now, so because Jesus was baptized that way, every baptism in the New Testament was by immersion. The word baptized means to go under the water. Number four, it best symbolizes the burial and resurrection, because immersion best symbolizes a burial and resurrection. Now, I want to read you three quotes. Okay? The first is from Martin Luther. Martin Luther is attributed to which church? Lutheran Church. Why don't you listen to what he says? I would have those who are to be baptized to be entirely immersed, as the word imports and the mystery signifies. That was said by Martin Luther. The Lutheran Church today still, by and large, practices baptism. Yeah. Sprinkling. By and large, I said. It's not exclusive. All right. John Calvin founded which church? Presbyterian. So listen to what John Calvin said. The word baptize signifies to immerse. It is certain that immersion was the practice of the ancient church. All right. Last one is John Wesley, who started the Methodist Church. Listen to what he says. Buried with him alludes to baptizing by immersion according to the custom of the first church. So the founders of these early denominations all agree with us. All right? Yes, sir.
In my study on the baptism, one of the books that I read pointed out that plunging a sword into a person, the baptizo, is the word used.
Yeah.
In the old Greek.
Yeah, so that's right.
It can also be, you know,
that's right.
Plunging a sword into somebody.
Plunging a sword, yeah. It's another good way of saying it. All right, who should be baptized? Look at Acts 2:41. Who should be baptized? Every person who's believed in Christ. Acts 2:41. Those who accepted his message, this is Peter was preaching, were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Did you notice the phrase that day? They were baptized that day. You know, they didn't wait. They didn't wait till they were old enough. They didn't wait for anything. They were baptized that day. So when should you be baptized? As soon as you've believed. As soon as you believe. All right? Point number two, we can enjoy, back to Romans, we can enjoy our new life in Christ because we are united with him in his death and resurrection. Romans 6, start at verse 5. If we've been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that the old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, the old self refers to the way we used to be prior to following Christ. So the baptism painlessly acts out the union that Christ painfully made real for us. You see that? So, in Christ's death, believers would also die to their sin. Dying to sin is a lifelong process. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We constantly have to ask for forgiveness, and we constantly have to ask and confess our sins, don't we? But when we accept Christ, that old nature is dead. The new life has begun. Right? The old self in verse 6 is the believer before he or she trusted Christ. Before you trusted Christ, you see, your life was ruled by sin. Sin was the dominating thing in your life. Now, history tells us that when former slaves were set free, they continued to live like slaves because they just didn't know the difference. Either, you know, history tells us that either they didn't believe they were free, or they were so accustomed to that lifestyle that they just continued to live as slaves. You see, they couldn't imagine being free because they'd been slaves for so long. And see, until we accept the freedom that we have in Christ, we will remain slaves too. But once you've accepted God's gracious gift of salvation, of freedom, then you'll be able to participate in that lifelong pursuit of being a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. So why do we continue to sin? We're human, aren't we? Yeah. We are human. And we live in the world, don't we? Yeah, we still have to live in the world. All right, number three, because of death, Christ's death and resurrection, his followers never need fear death. Verse 8. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And see, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear death, do we? We don't have to fear death. When Christ groaned those three words on the cross, it is finished. It really was. It really was. Christ knew the sacrifice was complete. He had done everything that he needed to do, just like we talked about last week, once and for all. You see, a dead body cannot be tempted any longer. It's dead. So that's hope for us. And a reason that we should resist temptation, because we're dead to that sin. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. Verse 12 says the bodies are mortal. That means that we're all going to die. Okay? But we should not yield ourselves to sin and temptations. You see, there's a choice. You've been given a new life in Christ. We should live like that. We should live like that. We live under grace because our master is God. When we live under sin, who's the master? Sin. Sin's the master. So, why should a Christian stop sinning even though he knows that we're forgiven? Why should we stop sinning even though we know that we're forgiven?
We love him. We want to glorify him.
Because we love God, we want to glorify him. And we're saying that Christ is our master. Will we ever stop sinning? No. But we make the effort. We make the effort to stop sinning. That's right. Father, help us every day to be able to discard old habits. Help us to resist temptation. And Father, as we pray, help us to be mindful of thanking Jesus Christ for the tremendous sacrifice that he made on the cross. And Father, give us an opportunity to be witnesses for you this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have a family member that's struggling with baptism, I hope that today's lesson will give you some help.
Amen.